Aloha and welcome to Elevating Motherhood. I'm so glad you're here. I'm your host, Lori Beth Aldridge. I've taken my passion for conversation, perspective, and supporting moms and turned it into a podcast. My goal is to talk openly about motherhood, offer new ideas, and help moms find their confidence in this busy and sometimes overwhelming world we live in. We're going to dive deep, open up, and elevate motherhood. Thanks for being here with me. Let's get started. Hey, have you heard? My friends Jennifer Ford-Berry, Amy Debrick, and I are hosting our second annual Focus Retreat for Christian businesswomen in historic Shaker Village in Harrodsburg, Kentucky, right outside of awesome, delicious Lexington. We are so stoked. Last year's event was incredible. It was a gathering of amazing women from all different niches, coming together and connecting as women, as wives, as mothers, as friends, as business associates, new business connections. And we value those connections, but we really value community. And these women came together in a really amazing way. We offer lectures, we eat together, we do workshops, we have a VIP event at the lake where we just hang out on the dock and listen to live music and just be in sisterhood with one another as we dive deep into the balance that we're all seeking in our lives, in our personal lives, in our marriages, in our friendships, and of course, in our businesses. So this is a business retreat, but we focus on family, organization, confidence, you and your needs, and then systems to integrate all of them together so that we feel more confident and more balanced in our multiple roles that we have. We hope that you'll join us this year. There are still spots available. There are only a couple of VIP tickets still available for that awesome party on the lake on Wednesday night. So check it out. There's more information and tickets available at thefocusretreat.com. That's thefocusretreat.com. And if you are interested but not ready to commit, I 10 out of 10 recommend getting on our email list, because our email list isn't just about sales. It's about encouraging you in your everyday life and in your business. So if you need some encouragement as a business owner, join our email list. The tickets and the email list sign up are all at thefocusretreat.com. I would love to hang out with you this fall in beautiful Harrodsburg, Kentucky. Aloha, friends. This is not a usual episode. My husband, Chris, makes a rare appearance today. He courageously shows up in a very raw and candid conversation with me about marriage, expectations, who needs to do more, things like that. We were having an interesting conversation this morning, just the two of us. He came to a conclusion about marriages and what's happening in marriages right now and what he can see kind of like from the outside. So we have a lot of friends. We're so fortunate here and in other places. And a lot of moms share things with me, moms I know, moms I don't know. And I love that. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm honored to be a trusted space for women to share about their marriages. This conversation is not marriage advice. It's not a fight that we have or anything like that. It's just, we were having this great conversation. He had some really interesting husband perspective. And while we were having this conversation, I said, you know, I can't help but think that a lot of people would benefit from hearing more about this topic. And I asked him if he'd be willing to do a podcast episode. And he was like, And then all of a sudden he wanted to record it. So I say he shows up courageously today because he definitely didn't have to step into this public forum and talk about marriage in general, what he sees as a married person and also as my husband and someone who is a noticer. He's not, you'll hear in the show, it's so cute how he says it, but he's not overly emotional. He's not really expressive. He's kind of like the silent, strong type. And today he talks, and he talks a lot, and I'm really grateful for it. And I hope that you and your husband also get a lot out of this too. This would be great episode to listen to together. Hopefully it spurs on conversation and a deepening of your communication by hearing how it is we talk with one another. You'll hear us disagree on things. We don't share the same perspective on a lot of things, and yet we are happily married. And so what does that look like? I feel like we need more examples of what that looks like in our world too. We are not perfect. We do not parade around like we are perfect. We do not pretend like we are perfect. And you'll hear it in the show. This is not scripted. It's very candid. It is nerve-wracking for us to put this out here because I feel like there is a lot of room for misinterpretation about what we're talking about, or that people might misinterpret it as advice. And I just want to reassure you that today's episode is not intended to be marriage advice. It's not about anyone in particular. It's about finding a common thread in a lot of marriages and problems that are happening in marriages right now. Gosh, I mean, this is observations from social media, from movies, from conversations that we've had with people we know, and then strangers as well. It's just interesting. And it's, is it a commentary on our current culture? I don't know. But we just noticed this thread and we started pulling it and we kept going and we're like, wow, I think other people would benefit from also grabbing hold of this thread and pulling and see where it gets them too. So like I said, our hope is that this is a conversation starter for you and your spouse, a perspective that leads to deeper growth and conversation. And we hope it's an example of how two people in marriage can view things differently and not have those differences be a hindrance or cause hurt to one another. Also know that these are incomplete thoughts. We touched base on quite a few different topics today and tangents that we've had over the years. But again, there's like this common thread in all of these different topics. So we brought them up, talked about them and shared about them. And we hope that it helps. And we hope you enjoy this episode. My gosh, I'm so nervous. But here it is. I woke up this morning feeling like I want to do a podcast episode, and this is what came out. And my husband was pretty insistent that I put it out today. We sat down, we had our conversation, sat down and recorded it together, edited it together, which we didn't edit out very much, just a couple of ums and likes and pauses for your benefit. Oh, sidebar. Know that we did this so last minute. There are no babysitters involved in this episode. So you'll definitely hear our son yelling, "Mom, Mom," in the background for a bit. When there's a nursing break in there, there's like, this is real life. It's real life in the moment, very raw. So thank you in advance for your patience and compassion as you listen to this episode. Okay, here we go. Wishing you and your spouse all the best as always. All right, I'm going to hit play. So this is very interesting because my husband Chris and I are sitting down across from each other this morning.
Gazing across the table at each other.
And we were having a conversation this morning that we wanted to bring you in on because Chris has a really interesting perspective most of the time. It's one of the reasons I married him, besides his gorgeous blue eyes and long hair. We talk a lot about a lot of things. For some background information, Chris and I have been married 11 years. We just celebrated our 11-year anniversary last week.
This week.
I don't know. It's been a whirlwind week. I'm 43. You're 46. Okay. So, and we have four children, 10, 8, 7, and 2. So that is the season of life we're in, and that is the age that we are. And sometimes those things, they go together well. I think we show up with a lot of patience for each other and for our children. And also we're tired a lot. You know, we have a 2-year-old who's waking up a lot, but we moved from Maui after almost 20 years of being there. And so we hit our 2-year Idaho anniversary last month. So it hasn't even been 2 years and a month. And there was something about that milestone that really, caused me to reflect on the last couple of years and the move and new friendships and old friendships and things like that. So I was talking with Chris this morning because, you know, women talk. They talk, they share a lot of stories about their husband. I make it a point to hang around women who don't bash their husbands. I hang out with a lot of women who champion their husbands in a lot of ways. And we think we are. for sure. But I will say
there's a but in there.
There is something that came to light this morning that is causing me to reflect even more. And maybe I'm just in a reflective time because my grandmother just passed away and we just hit our wedding anniversary and our Idaho anniversary. And there's a lot of thinking going on, a lot of processing. But something he said this morning was very interesting. I was sharing with him an issue, a trial that one of my girlfriends is going through with her husband because I find it interesting. And it's a marriage privilege, right, to talk to your husband. Chris and I, for sure, don't talk about every conversation I have, every issue that comes up with our friends, things like that. And we're never doing it, talking with each other to be gossipy. It's just a marriage privilege. And I think it's really healthy and helpful to look at other people's stuff and say, do we have something similar? Can we identify with this? Is there lessons to be learned in there?
We process.
Yeah.
Which is a way of processing.
Exactly. Exactly. So that being said, we're talking about it without judgment. I'm just sharing details of the story that I find interesting or like, wow, this is really something. And we learn a lot through their perspectives and other people's trials and triumphs too. And we're always championing our friends. But I was sharing with Chris that some of the frustrations that some female friends of mine, wives, have been having where they feel like they're the ones who do it all. And that verges on martyr syndrome in a lot of ways. And I try not to walk that line and be a martyr. And yet I do think there is a lot of that energy behind conversations. So in this particular situation, the woman felt like she was doing a lot of the work. She was showing up. Her husband is not so much. And yet we love our husbands and we want them to do what it is they're doing. We want to support them. And honey, you said you feel like there's an underlying...
I'm like, well, this is the exact same conversation that we've had over and over again. I was just showing that there is... I've heard the story several times now. It's always the same story of the husband is not doing enough or he's not providing enough. Or he's not, it just seems like there's an underlying current of he is not doing enough in some way. And a lot of times it's financially that he isn't stepping up to the plate or helping or whatever it is. It just, there's this underlying current of he's not doing enough, .. And I said, well, you know, I feel like this is very unfair to men right now. And I see that this is happening across the board. And, you know, I was able to say there's a dozen examples.
You literally gave a dozen examples.
And I said, now, give me an example where this isn't the case.
And I said,
You said us. And I was like, I did. And I said, well, actually, you know, I'm sure that there are some things that, you know, even you could say.
Oh, no, there is not even sort of. We are absolutely considered in there. So here I was on my high horse for a second saying like us, I think us, right? And you're like, well, I was like, well, actually, there are many times I have said similar things or felt similar things or expressed similar things.
And I think the thing is it's the expectation is on the man. Things have changed. The world has gotten harder. Things have changed.
More expensive.
And, you know, there's this feeling of the men are having a hard time finding the motivation in some way. And moving the needle some way. And I think a lot of times it's financially. And that seems to be a big thing right now that's happening. And I said, well, you know what it is? Also, we're being expected to do much more and get less for it. The way things have turned, the way the economy is, just, you know, our wages haven't caught up with the cost of living. And it's on us. I feel like the men are graded with a report card. We get a report card every week. At the end of the week, what you brought home, that's your report card. And you might have been getting a B, or you might have been getting a C. But now, in the current times that we're living in, that B has dropped to a C, maybe a C minus. And the wives who love their husbands are looking at us saying, oh, no, we still need to have a B. That means that you need to go do something extra to bring it up to where we were able to survive a certain way a couple years ago. And it feels unfair. It feels unfair because I know if I start asking you, I want you to do extra. I'm going to give you less resources to do extra. I'm going to give you less time to do extra. But the expectation is that you do more. you clean the house more, you teach the kids more, you do more, but I'm not going to give you anything more for it. And I feel like that's like the juxtaposition. And I feel like that's what's happening a little bit. It's not like, and it made me wonder, I mean, is this whole man-dogging culture overflowing into marriages where even the women are like, it's the men's fault? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's always the case, but to some degree, it's starting to feel that way. And I just, you know, I was just trying to be a voice for some of the guys out there. I'm like, hey, I'm hearing this story over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the expectation? We solve this problem. Okay, well, how do you solve that problem? Well, you do more. And I feel like the burden of doing the more lands squarely on the men most of the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple things to unpack there. I do think in hard times we are called to do more. We have to step up for sure. And so it's not a laziness issue for a lot of people. It is a transition issue for a lot of people, because not only do we have to, it's like if you're, you know, as parents, right, we have some kids who just really don't do well in transitions. If you move from one task to the next or change their focus from one thing to the next or ask them, okay, we're done with this, now we're going to go do this, they just really stink at the transition. They fight it. It's not good. It's not fun. I feel like some grownups still have that for sure. And the pace of our world is such that they don't allow you time to transition. So it's like all of a sudden resources are less and we're like, oh my gosh, we need to do more. But what does that look like? And so now people are looking for more work, looking for jobs, looking for creative ways to bring money in. And it's hard. And that transition takes a lot longer than the pace of our world allows for. So I do think that sometimes when times get tough, we are called to do more and we have to step up to the plate to do more. And also, it's like no one has any patience to make that transition, or no one has the patience to tell their husbands that you need to do more, but you need to do more now.
Okay, but I also think that, you know, if you're the homemaker and you struggle that week and you aren't able to do more,
mm-hmm.
you're not getting criticized the same way that
sure,
if you're I'm the not. Bread earner and you didn't do more yeah. that week, you had a rough week, or you're self-employed and you didn't have work that week,
yeah.
there's a little bit less forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the other element of that is, I think in our marriage, I don't get flack from you for...
You're very lucky.
Not having a great week at home. Okay, the other interesting thing I wanted to bring up and what it is you said is that all the examples I've ever given you are my... people in our lives that we surround ourselves with. And like I said earlier, these are women who don't give in to feminist notions of women can do it all and should do it all. And yet a lot of us were raised in that culture, especially if we went to college. And are there positives to the feminist movement? Probably. Are there a lot of negatives that came out of it? Absolutely. And marriages are suffering because of it, for sure. But we try really hard not to live by that standard of like women do it all, men are useless, we're not giving in to the toxic masculinity stuff at all. In fact, I think that a lot of us we're strong, we're capable, we're powerful, we are doing a lot, and we're trying not to be martyrs and we're trying to be champions of our husbands. And yet the cultural messages are so strong that it's really hard to nursing break. It's really hard to get over those things because those messages are so ingrained in our culture. We do it all. We carry the mental load, which is true. And I think sometimes we're focusing so much on the things that we do and the mental load that we have that it's really hard to bring up when we feel like, at the end of the day, honestly, honey, I think it's really hard to bring up how we feel like our partner could improve without offending anybody because we're both doing so much.
But I also think it's important to acknowledge that we're probably struggling as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've moved. We've had to kind of rethink our whole game plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not able to make money the same way we used to. We've had to shift. And it's different. Mm-hmm. It's not the same. And times are harder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stressful. It's mm-hmm. more stressful. I think that just the way things have gone over the course of the last couple of years has made it harder on everyone, but it's easy to say you have to do more to solve this problem. And I even asked you, I'm like, well, why do you think we all grew up with, you know, double income families, parents that worked? And what did you say?
I think it's a lot of the lies of feminism.
I said, no, that's not why. It's because times were hard, and in order to survive, that's what had to happen. And I'm not saying that that's what we need to do. We don't live that way. We don't want that to be the way.
Right. So it's interesting because I think that from the woman's perspective too, I'm presented with ideals all the time of like, ideally the mom is with the kids all the time. Ideally the dad is the sole breadwinner. You know, there is this sort of like stay at home mom movement that's happening. Everyone's fighting amongst themselves over it. So like, you've got an extreme, it's the extremes again, right? Which side of the fence are you on? Are you on the feminist, women don't need men, we hate men? There's even books called How to Date Men When You Hate Men.
And my fear is that bleeding over into married culture? Subconsciously?
I think so.
It's the men. Another thought that I'd had when we were talking about this just a second ago was that we also know a lot of people that are in a similar position as us where they have relocated in the last couple of years due to, we all know why that's happened. So it's hard to start over. We're all kind of starting over again. I mean, you can't pack everything that you own and your family and move to another state or another place and not take time to get on track. And it seems hard to do that. I think that's hard on a lot of people. I think that a lot of people we know are struggling to find that like balance of where they want to be, how they want it to be, and where they are.
And I, like I said, it's a lot of women who champion their husbands, don't believe in toxic masculinity, and yet we still fall into martyrdom moments. And, you know, the other extreme of the we don't need men is we need men to do it all. And I don't think that works all the way either. So it's interesting. I mean, these are incomplete thoughts, right? This is just a conversation that we're having, but I don't think that any growth can happen until you and I, like you pointed out, it is the truth. And that we see from the outside perspective, it's really easy to look at other people's relationships and issues and all of that and be like, oh, well, I think I know the problem. I know what the problem is. And heck, I might even know what the solution is or not, you know, but chances are we don't know the solution.
But I see the same issue even in us. And you said, no, we don't have it. I was like, well, honestly.
Yeah, we do.
We could. We do as well. We do as well. It's not extreme. And, you know, we worked well together and, you know, we figured it all out. But I just was trying to, like, you know, be a voice for the guys a little bit. Be like, hey, you know what? I feel like we're being a little bit unfairly judged here. Or, you know, it's been put on us. And it's...
Do you feel like there are some men who need to step up? I'm not saying from our circle of friends. I'm just saying, like, could you acknowledge that there are some men who need to do a better job of stepping up?
Probably. I will also acknowledge that, again, it's super hard to, like, really find extra motivation to do more for less.
And that's
the hard part. That's the hard part. You know, I don't want to get out there and work harder and get less for what I did.
Less money, less acknowledgement, less encouragement.
If you're struggling to find that motivation, that might be the problem. Because you feel like you're, why? Why would I do more for less? And that just kind of feels like where we're at right now. Just, I think because cost of living has gone up so much. And, you know, just everything. Everything's changed. And it can be unmotivating. That can be unmotivating. You're like, oh, the expectation is I do these things. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. But it's just hard to find that motivation sometimes.
And, you know, there are people who...
To be happy doing it. You might do it, but that might also create some unhappiness or resentment.
Sure. And unhappiness in you creates problems in the family, you know. Unhappiness in me can create problems in the family, too.
Well,
it
makes it a little easier to come home and, like, nitpick things. Be like, well, look what you didn't do today.
Tit for tat doesn't really work out that well. And it's not very motivating. I do think it's important to talk about. I mean, we have things in our marriage that we work on. We don't pretend to be perfect. We don't parade around like we're perfect. None of that sort of stuff. But we are willing to have conversations with each other, even the hard ones. And like, you can work through those. You can talk with each other and say, like, I'm feeling this way. I'm not feeling very supported right now. I feel like there is nitpicking. But if you're not getting to the heart of it, and I do think that is the heart of it, that even though a lot, from the woman's perspective, from my perspective, I do champion you. I do champion men. I don't believe in toxic masculinity. I try not to go into that. And also, there is that undercurrent of, like, you need to do more. You need to be the one to be doing more. You need to be the one to be doing more. And I mean, I have to acknowledge that in order for us to make changes, deep, meaningful, lasting change and shifting. And so I think the other thing we've learned over the years is it doesn't have to be a heavy. It feels heavy, especially if there's hurt or unhappiness or resentment that has built up over time. And transition is hard. Like, for me, I feel like the new thing I'm working on is humility and trusting God's timing. And those are two very hard things. Transitions take a long time. It's been two years. It's taken longer
than we expected, I think.
Yeah.
And it takes longer than everybody expects.
Yeah.
Like, and then what is actually the end? What is that? I mean, things aren't going to be the way they were. So I think that you even said this before, there's a mourning involved too.
Yeah.
Like, mourning of what life used to look like.
And I think for a lot of people, there's grief in not having dreams fulfilled too, or like having a vision or an expectation for something, either in their marriage or in their life or their business and whatnot. Because a lot of businesses are struggling right now. Tons and tons and tons. We're all trying our hardest and doing our best, and there's still a lot of struggle that's happening.
I feel like everything is starting to catch up.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, people were doing all right. We're treading water, making it, and then all of a sudden just within the last year, like, I feel like it's all really starting to catch up to people.
Mm-hmm.
And the exhaustion is setting in. The stress is setting in.
Mm-hmm. It's not hopeless. It's not hopeless. But I do think it was an interesting observation that you made. And it's not a judgment. It's just an observation that I do see the two extremes of how women are showing up or how they think they need to show up, you know, in the feminist light or in the apron wearing stay at home mom type. And there's like a whole spectrum in between for sure. But I do think it's interesting the pressure on men to do more at the same time. We feel like we're already doing so much. It feels like women feel like they can't possibly do anymore. But I think the truth is we are capable of a lot. We are capable of a lot. And I think it's skewed expectations of each other and skewed views of what we're bringing to the table and not looking at our own faults that can hold us back in our relationships and our marriage and our growth in business and life and all of that. Does that make sense? Like, if I were to say, oh no, I'm already doing so much. I don't need to do more. I don't need to change. I don't need to do anymore. You're the one who needs to do that. It's easy. It's the easy out. And it's not helpful.
Yeah. Resentment.
Yeah. But also I think if men are the ones saying like, I'm the one who's doing it all. I mean, that's not the full truth either, right?
Oh, well, yeah.
What?
Okay. Well, another conversation that we've had is jealousy.
Yeah.
And I've talked to you about this. And I don't know if we're going to go here or not, but I told you before that, you know, yeah, at times I'm jealous of what you have.
Mm-hmm.
You get to stay with the kids. You get to socialize. You have more fun on a daily basis than I do. Your life is different than mine. You know, I'm expected to go out, work, make that money, and come home.
Mm-hmm.
So the resentment sets in when I'm like, oh, you've been hanging out with friends all day, but the house isn't clean. Like, I did my job, but I feel like you guys are living your best lives and you didn't really do your job today. Not that that's saying like that's your job, but you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the truth. And honestly, I think that it's your truth in that moment or ways that you felt in the past. You're not the only man who has ever felt that way, but I'm sure you're also one of many men who feels like they could never say anything, or like, you know, is that a fair emotion? Is it not? It doesn't matter. But if it's an issue and it's never brought up, never spoken aloud, then there's no way we can get around that. So, you know, you and I worked through that or work through it, but it's a long process. to work through that. And I understand that. And we aren't talking about that. That, you know, the men who want to be with their families too, they want to be with their families,
right,
just their children just as much.
That was, I think for you, that was like a light bulb moment when I first said that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, well, I don't remember why it came up, but, and I was like, I'm jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it is I'm jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you guys are living an amazing life.
Mm-hmm.
And mine's good too.
Mm-hmm.
I just get the, sometimes what I can consider the short end of the stick.
As far as the fun and adventure and all
right.
that stuff
and,
goes.
You know, what'd you guys do today? Oh, it was playgroup. You know, you socialized and that was great. And you had friends and what you guys, coffee and the kids played. Okay. But the house is a wreck. It doesn't seem like you guys, you know, picked up after said
mm-hmm.
playgroup, you know? And mm-hmm. then that's where I'm like, oh, okay. Must be nice. It must be nice to live this life. So, I don't know. I think that you just got to give the guys a break sometimes, too, mm-hmm. and understand where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't, like, your expectation that things that I do better, work on certain things, these are not unfair requests. Like, we don't have it all figured out. We try to find a healthy balance between, like, it would be awesome if you could do this. You know, it'd be awesome if this could be something that we work on. And we found words and ways to talk with each other without being offensive. It's years of work, right? It's not an overnight thing. We don't have it completely figured out all the way, but I do think it's something that's important to say.
Baby snore.
Yeah, the baby fell asleep. So I'm trying to adjust him. All the things. Okay. It's actually one of the things that's kind of not talked about in homeschool enough, I think, too, specifically the homeschool community, but I don't think it's just homeschool. I think it's other dynamics too, but like, yeah.
Do you want to go on this tangent also? Because we've had this conversation before.
Which
too.
One?
The sometimes dads aren't on board with homeschool tangent.
Mm.
Because it's like we're living two different lives. We come from the two different worlds.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Our expectation is that we are up at a certain time and we go to our job and we work certain hours and then we get done and that it's very set in stone. This is what you do from
yeah
and then
Monday through Friday 9 to 5.
So I think that it's hard for some men to see a life for their family where they don't go by the same rules. You know, the kids kind of mm-hmm. just get up when they want and you have breakfast and it's very, there's a rhythm, not a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to get on board sometimes, or like if you're not familiar with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you lived a scheduled life, you've been working your whole life, and it's always been based on Monday through Friday, X amount of hours, this is what you do, a rhythm doesn't always make sense to you.
Yeah, that's another thing, too. It's like, especially for the, I think, the stay-at-home moms, that, yeah, the rhythm versus schedule stuff doesn't compute, because it is like we're living in two different worlds. Another tangent we could go on, a whole separate tangent, is women on social media who are learning a lot, or like on blogs and Pinterest and podcasts and parenting books and all of this sort of stuff. So I'm sure that many people listening are on the positive parenting or respectful parenting or peaceful parenting trains. And who's doing most of that research? I think most of the time it's the women who are doing that. And so we are in community with each other. We are talking in moms groups. We're talking in chats online and in person. We're reading the books. We're doing the book clubs, all of this. And we feel like we're growing and changing and making changes. And then some of that resentment comes in from the wife's side, the mom's side, when we're like, well, why can't you be on board with this? But we have been researching all this stuff for months, years, decades, and we have had that slow transition time to slowly absorb all of this. And then by the time we come and present it to our husbands or the dads, we're like, you need to get on board with this. But it's been a slow drip for us, but you're working, you know? And are you learning stuff? Yeah, you listen to me all the time. We have conversations all the time. I share with you what I'm reading. You share with me what you're reading. And they're not the same, and I don't think they should be. And it's like we're trying to get on the same page, and yet in the age of information and technology, I think that some of the resentment in women comes from us having this slow drip of information and processing and then dumping it on our husbands and expecting them to get on board right away.
to do a 180 change.
Yes.
Overnight.
Yeah. And I don't think that's
unfair. It's an unfair mm-hmm. expectation. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to have, I think that's another thing too, is you got to have fair expectations of your partner.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just expect things to change overnight.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want happiness and rest for myself.
I want happiness and rest.
And I want happiness and rest for you. Right? We want these things for each other. And I think that that is the undercurrent that allows us to talk about these things and have these sort of challenging and eye-opening and like, oh, really? Realizations without being offended. Like when you said that, I could have been deeply offended. Or when I said, well, we don't have that, you could have been like, all right, it's time to get your head out of the sand and like take a look. But it's not offensive. It's just, it's observations and perspective. And so we respect each other's perspectives instead of having it come down to this. Do we do it perfectly? Absolutely not.
Right. Absolutely and it's not exactly the same, but the underlying was the same. I was like, oh, look at our own situation. Look yeah. at every single person we know situation. Look yeah. at, you know, go across the board. It's all the same story, it seems like to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I started wondering, like, where is this coming from? You know, why mm-hmm. is it? It's almost like the man-hating culture is trickling into marriage culture as well.
Mm-hmm.
Even the women who love their man are yes. like,
and who
it's these men's fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, whoa, hey, come on, let's take a step back here. And it can't be all men are bad. I'm like, that's not the world we live in.
Well, I think it's a call to look at how it is we're showing up, and we can't just sit on one side of the fence or one side of the spectrum, you know, from aprons to, you know, burning bras and say like, well, this is where I lie. It's not about what we can make logical in our own minds, but like, what are our actions saying? What are our beliefs saying? What are our thoughts about our husband, our marriage, ourselves saying? Are we saying, well, I'm not going to be a martyr and then acting like a martyr? Are we saying we expect more of them? Well, he's doing his best, but then still expecting more, you know? And unspoken things are picked up on, don't you think?
Right. And, you know, maybe some of it is stress.
Yeah.
Frustration, jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
These are emotions that we feel as well.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that is part of the reason for uncomfortable conversations that people are having.
I mean, I don't think this is definitely not an episode of like, here are the answers, here are the conclusions we came to, here's how it's done. No, we have it all figured out.
We're
this is
it
like,
as well. We feel it as well.
Yeah. And I
think that it's everybody. I don't yeah, think it's just us. And it's just yeah. not a handful of us. I feel like it's everyone. And
mm-hmm.
that's a pandemic in its own. Like, why is everyone feeling this way?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it's worth looking at and it's worth listening to. And I think that our hope is that couples would listen to this together and, you know, use it as an example, like apply it to your own life. Don't apply it, you know, our life choices and the way we handle things are not a commentary on other people's. It's just that we like to sit down and or do chores and talk.
And you're not the only one.
Yeah.
And you know, let's have a little patience for each other and, mm-hmm. you know. Maybe use those words. What are some of those words that we've said today that do those
mm-hmm. do they those apply to you? Yeah.
Does that apply to you as well?
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you give your partner that little bit of information, like, yeah, mm-hmm. I do feel this way, maybe things will be a little bit better, mm-hmm. maybe a little smoother, or at least you have an understanding of
mm-hmm.
how they feel.
Mm-hmm. And I think having the words helps. It helps you feel more confident in expressing how it is you feel or sort through your stuff. It takes time. It takes time to sort through your own stuff. It takes even more time to sort through marriage stuff.
And I'm not some like expressy guy.
No.
You
know
what I mean? I think that, you know, sometimes I do have the ability to step back and be like, well, how does it apply to me? Or how do I feel about this? And
yeah.
is the way I feel about this the way that other people feel about this? Probably. Does yeah. my wife know how I feel about this? Because this is probably the same way that she doesn't know I feel this way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or does this other person's wife know that they feel this way?
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your perspective, honey. And I appreciate you sharing. And when you shared that this morning, I was like, I think other people need to hear about this. And you definitely had the choice to not sit down and record this. And when you didn't respond, I was like, oh, okay, I think we just had a good conversation and then like moved on. And then you're like, are we going to do this or what? And I was like, oh my gosh, yes.
We gotta do it now. We're doing it now.
Right. So I appreciate that, honey, so much. And I hope that other wives and husbands appreciate it too, because if there is a pandemic of marriage hurt and frustration and blame and miscommunication going on right now, like, our hope is that you can find strength in openly communicating and clearly communicating with each other, and also taking into consideration multiple perspectives and getting back to the core of gentleness and respect. And like, yes, you want to be happy and heard, and also acknowledging that your partner wants to be happy and heard as well. You're awesome.
Well, you too. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this episode of Elevating Motherhood. Thanks again for spending your valuable time with me today. I hope you found some insight and inspiration, or maybe a little of both. If you like today's show, please leave a review on iTunes. I use your feedback to plan future shows and cover topics that serve you. You can also connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. Links to those accounts are in the show notes. For more information, including today's show notes, head to elevatingmotherhood.com. That's elevatingmotherhood.com. Thanks again, Mama. I appreciate you.